Chapter 41, The Pride of Lions. Was he surprised? Stunned is more like it. He quickly stepped back out of sight. Boy, Mr. Blackwell, that Joey Kay sure was crazy. Good thing you got rid of him. No answer. I wasn't sure what to say. I attempted to strike up a conversation. Thanks for your kind words about me. He didn't answer. When he recovered his composure, he cleared his throat and said, So, Joey didn't asphyxiate you after all. I said, No, sir, but it wasn't for lack of trying. Just for the record, I shouted to him over and over again to let him know I was having trouble breathing. I wondered as much. I suppose, then, you heard everything that was said. I said, Pretty much. But I can forget it all if you want me to. By the way, I'm being completely sincere. Thank you for the nice things you said about me. He said, I meant them. I said, I know you did. He remained out of sight. I wasn't sure what to say, but I knew I had to keep him engaged. This was much more than a mere job interview. I said, Mr. Blackwell, don't you think this is kind of ridiculous now? We're lions. You don't want to kill me. No reply. The whole situation seemed profoundly absurd. Our conversation at a standstill, I elected to try levity. I said, Mr. Blackwell, if you're not going to let me out, would you mind getting me something to eat? A ham and cheese or something? You can skip the drink, though. No answer. I said, What is this, one of your think tanks? No answer. I said, Joey told Monica this is where they add the fizz to soda pop. Right? Isn't that right? Still no answer. I continued. Let me see if I remember my high school chemistry. When you pump CO2 into water and pressurize it, it dissolves to form carbonic acid. That's a weak acid, right? About like lemon juice, I think. Am I right? Am I right? Still no answer. Of course, weak acids do the same thing as strong ones. They just take longer, right? Still no reply. So what happens after I'm dissolved? Do I get bottled and shipped? I hope so. I always wanted to be like my old pop. I was being absurd, but I couldn't help it. Blackwell finally stepped forward and peered down at me. He said, For someone on the brink of death, you're remarkably composed. I said, When you're standing on the gallows, you've no choice but to develop gallows humor. Except I don't really believe you're going to kill me, Mr. Blackwell. I really don't. We're alums. We're brothers. We're fellow lions. We're two alike, you and me. I scrambled for more fawning things to say. Plus, I know you never like to squander a good investment. This school has invested a lot in me. You've invested a lot in this school. You don't want to kill me and waste all that. He said, I certainly do not. I said, Then don't. You can hire me. I'll work for you. No, I'm afraid not. Wait a minute. At the Columbia Club, you said I could get back to you about that. You said we were going to help each other, he remarked. That is no longer possible. That was then. Things have changed. Why? Why do they have to change? You know too much. I can look the other way, he said. You, the nephew of the police commissioner, keep silent? I will. I will, really. I will. I'm afraid it's not in your makeup. Unfortunately, that is your problem. I know you too well. I know your character. You are too principled. I can tone it down, Mr. Blackwell. Mr. Blackwell, I honestly think you should reconsider. I'm young. I'm adaptable. I'm a quick learner. I'll be a loyal lion, too. Loyal to me or your uncle? To you. I'll be loyal to you. I doubt that. Come on, Mr. Blackwell. We're lions. Remember? We stick together. He said, you're not ruthless enough. That's another of your failings. Hey, wait a minute. I read Machiavelli in contemporary civilization class, just like everybody else, just like you did. I'll read him again. A leonine grin spread across his features. He said, you could read him from now until doomsday, and it wouldn't do you any good. Look how you leapt the hedgerow to save the first Martindale girl. Look how you took on Monica's cause to find her sister's killer. And the way you cared about Professor Hopkins' daughter's illness. And the way you refused to sue the university for damages after you had been clubbed by the night guard. Wait, hold on. You said that was good. You said my not suing the university was a good thing. He said, well, it was good, but was it smart? The university is fully insured. An insurance settlement would have netted you a valuable nest egg. You could have used that to build your fortune. Then return to the university down the road, the prodigal alum, and bestowed millions on the college. You could have done it that way, the smart way. This was becoming reminiscent of the interviews one has to sit for when applying to colleges, pleading your case before some schmo who gets to decide your future. Except in this case, it was about something much more serious than the trivial matter about what school I was going to get into. Look, Mr. Blackwell, Hugh, you asked me to call you by your first name, and I want to do that. I just think you should consider the fact that we're both lions. It's the responsibility of the older lion to look after and protect the cubs, isn't it? Isn't that right? So you don't want to kill me? That would be like killing the future, wouldn't it? I mean, come on, wouldn't it? He paused and then said, let not the lion be your foe if you propose to see him grow.